720 WGN, Your Money Matters on this Thursday evening. And, well, it's a pretty nice Thursday. Things have been feeling pretty good out there in the market this week or the past couple weeks. Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group, the gas prices are down. Happy days are here again, right?
I tease you every time I come on your show, anything you're hosting, you know it's a sea of green across the board, and today was again,
it delivered.
You know, no exception, up on, you know, I mean, it delivered. Now, where are we at with the futures? You know, it's the evening, we're down a bit, but on the day, we were certainly looking good. People are moving past this inflation just a tad, John. In fact, I thought it was earth-shattering news when last week Friday I crossed the border into Wisconsin and I saw gas that started with a 3. That was $3.99 unleaded, and it didn't even need a car wash.
I tell you what, Craig, I think we saw the exact same sign. I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw it too, and that's good news. And yeah, there is some good vibes out there, but we don't want to overstate it, right? Because obviously we still have to get a hold of this inflation. There's still a lot of things to work through. A few good weeks does not make up for, you know, 30% losses the first few months of the year.
No, it doesn't. I mean, the NASDAQ stock market in particular, the tech stocks, those that just were on price to sales, not price to earnings, they've been taken out to the wood chipper, and then some of them have even gone into the burn pile. But this is a reminder to absolutely everybody that one of the largest risks in the investment market in years like this, again, is that concept of whipsaw risk. I mean, if you just jump back to where we were, you know, some month ago, you know, call it the June 17th area, you know, the Dow Jones was trading below 30,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at 32. So just be mindful. I mean, that's a gigantic move in a short period of time. But no, I think inflation remains the story. I think inflation leads to the Fed, and that ends up leading to consequences.
Do you think that this is driven by the fact that the Fed has still remained very strong and their all signs point to a three quarters or there's rumors of a full point. I don't think a lot of people think that for sure it's going to go there. Do you think that people are reacting to, hey, look, yeah, we didn't have a great inflation number, but gas prices are down, and the Fed is taking this seriously. Do you think that's driving a little bit? Maybe some earnings we're seeing? What do you think has led to some positivity the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think the sentiment has shifted a little bit in the sense that people were fearing financial Armageddon coming into second quarter earnings. And certainly we've seen some evidence in these earnings reports of kind of what we expected, a slowdown in the pace of hiring from corporate CEOs, an outlook that is a little bit more tepid, not necessarily rosy into the end of the year. But John, we still have some companies, not as many as normal, beating on the top and the bottom side when it comes to earnings. So the concept of earnings Armageddon hasn't come to fruition. And if we continue through earnings over the next 2 weeks in July, coming out relatively unscathed, I think that's going to add fuel to the fire that when we have a Fed who is committed to do anything they need to do to squash inflation, even if it means over-tightening, believe it or not, in a weird way, that's going to be good for equity investors at this point in time.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't heard the R word as much in the past 3 weeks as I did the 3 weeks prior. And I don't think that doesn't necessarily mean for sure whether we are or are not going to get into a recession. But I think that at least maybe the urgency or the quickness that people were predicting us going to be in one may have slowed down a little bit. Am I reading that right?
I think it has slowed down a little bit. And listen, we could very well be in a recession. In fact, maybe we end up finding out that we're in a recession just in time for the election. Some people won't like that. But the truth is, the stock market, and that's what we're talking about, people's investment capital, their 401k plans, the stock market is a forward-looking indicator. And as a result, by the time we declare it a recession, even though, yeah, I think we have one, it's probably soft, it's relatively shallow. That's a nice way of saying it's short. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't the type of recession where it's accompanied by massive job loss, huge delinquencies, and you see foreclosures all over the planet. It doesn't look like that, doesn't feel like that. So at the end of the day, John, yeah, there's brighter days ahead. And that doesn't mean people should just be holding on to their investments. I think what it really means is good investors, those who are a steward of their capital, are absolutely reassessing what it is that they own. They recognize that what drove the leadership of the markets in the last several years might not be driving the leadership of the market in the years to come. And it's a great opportunity for people to right-size portfolios based on their time horizon, risk tolerance, and ultimately what's important, getting retired and staying retired.
I wanted to ask you about the idea that maybe we are in a soft recession. I know there's like definitions about, you know, two consecutive quarters of loss. That's like what we were taught in whatever my first economics class was. I don't remember what grade that was in. And I know the deficit there are imbalance we have plays a lot of role in that. But you know, it would be fascinating to find out that we are in one, given that there's still two open jobs for every unemployed person. Like you always say, it does it look like a recession? Does it feel like a recession? And I know we've seen a slight uptick in the jobless claims, but they're still historically low. It would, if this is a recession, if we are actually in one, according to the data points, this would be one of the strangest feeling ones ever.
Well, what's that series that everyone watches on Netflix? Is it called Stranger Things?
Yes, yes.
Right? I mean, let's bring that, what we're streaming on
TV, the upside down world, you're saying? This is the upside down world?
Yeah, it's a little bit of the upside down world. It's a little bit of bizarro. I mean, and that's been the case the entire year. But then again, I think that even dates back to the pandemic. A lot of this gets into the complexities of labor participation rates and everything else. But the truth is, John, you nailed it on the head. We're starting to see some tick up week after week in what we call those weekly jobless claims. Now, I don't like to see that, but ultimately it's healthy because I think what we need to be focusing on is this concept of a wage price spiral. I mean, if I go out for a hot dog, everything on it, extra celery salt, because you got to have that along with sport peppers.
Right.
I don't want to be paying $11 for a hot dog in the future. We're nowhere close. But if we continue to grow wages like that, and then that wage increase to everyone leads to additional spending, it's a very simple formula. It's the amount of money in the system times the velocity of transactions. I think this slowdown that we've entered into, the slower pace of growth that's going to occur through the end of the year, I think ultimately it's healthy because we had to hit the reset button in a number of areas.
All right, that's where we are today and this past week. We're going to continue our conversation with Craig Bolanos in just a few minutes. First, we'll take a commercial break, and then we'll get the news here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Your Money Matters on this Thursday. I saw the green screen today. I knew Craig Bolanos must be here because he is pretty much guaranteed. I shouldn't say a guarantee, Craig. You know, you never want to prognosticate too far out, but you are often the bearer of good news here after some bad news we've been going through for the first couple months of the year. But Craig, you know, we've been talking earlier about where we are for the state of the economy. At the end of the day, regardless of what the stock market's doing, the biggest thing that's impacting our wallets is still inflation and our budget. And that is still something, regardless of where the stock market goes, that everyone has to pay attention to and everyone has to adjust accordingly, not only in their everyday lives, but in terms of planning their futures.
No, I mean, and John, you and I have talked about before on your show where it's not about how high inflation gets. It's ultimately about how high inflation lands, because there's two components to the inflation piece. There's what's sticky and there's what's flexible. The flexible inflation is the high frequency data. Look at how quickly gas prices rose, but now look at how they're steadily trickling down day after day, day after day. But the sticky part, you know, I think about what's happening in higher education, the sticky part of what's happening in terms of rents. Those are going to be the larger challenges for the economy, because when was the last time did you see a college or university lower the cost of tuition? John, when was the last time a landlord lowered rent? Those are going to be the larger structural changes that we are going to have to be dealing with as a society, and how the Fed, how stimulus plays in, that's all to be seen. But if you ask me, have we seen peak inflation? Odds are we've probably seen peak inflation, but let's not kid ourselves. No one's going to see gasoline under $2. The price of ground beef is going to continue to stay escalated. based on the incredible low inventory that's available in housing. You're going to see rent escalators continue to come through. So that sticky part of inflation is going to make this certainly stubborn and very persistent.
Absolutely, because let's say we get a great number this next month and people expect an okay number, given that the gas prices have gone down and the last number included the most inflated the gas prices have been. Okay, let's say it comes down a little bit. It's still going to be high. And if it comes down another percent, let's say, that'd be miraculous each of the next couple months. You're still chugging along at 5%, right? I mean, these things take time to fix themselves, and you don't want a soft landing with inflation. We'd rather rock down, but it's just not going to happen that way. The pain, I guess you could say, will linger for time.
The pain is going to linger for time, and I think that creates, again, some of these structural challenges. But, John, something I've complimented you on time and time again, you know, in what I call the green room of radio, you know, you were banging on your show on the air simple, actionable ideas that people could use before many. I mean, you were talking about things like Series I inflation bonds. Yep. I hope everyone's been doing that. We talked on your show together about the concept of inflation trades, having some form of commodity and alternatives inside of portfolios. And I think if people just do a good job of taking what they see in their everyday lives and applying some of that to the investment discipline, it's going to take the edge off and likely add to the bottom line as a result.
The most common text I get from people is, yeah, I get it. If I have 20 years till I retire, I know I can weather this, but I am just entering retirement. So many of our listeners are, and there's fear out there. Is there any other off-ramps right now? Off-ramp's not the right word, but places to do things with money that can at least get you that 3% that at least grow. It doesn't even grow at the price of inflation, but feel safer. Are securities going a little higher? Like, is there anything with this increased interest rates that is providing some growth for people in a safe place?
I understand that people are nervous, and people should be nervous because all of the headlines are real. These are not fake news. This is real life stuff. Your wallet is definitively seeing it. But people shouldn't plan on surviving retirement, John. They need to thrive through retirement, and that means they better have a plan, and they most certainly should have that bucket of money approach where a part of their retirement finances are invested differently than the other. There needs to be some safe capital. There needs to be some capital that's generating equity income, what I call dividends and interest. And then there needs to be this third bucket of long-term growth, because if people do not grow their capital base over time, how are they going to grow their income? And then the silent killer, which is nothing more than inflation, not hypertension, is eventually going to get them in trouble. But what people can be focusing on right now today, after they've bought their Series I savings bonds, the next rung up the ladder is people should look at the biblical sell-off that has happened in the bond market, which has increased starting yields for new investors. And I encourage new investors to really take a look at high-quality investment-grade corporate bonds where you can lock in yields to maturity of 4% plus today. So, John, that checks the box on the bar that you just mentioned, number three. And for others, those who are what I call the traditional CD shopper, et cetera, you know, take a look. Typically at the wealth management group, we're not looking at things like annuities, but I cannot deny the fact that there are dirt cheap, multi-year guaranteed annuities that are very simple for people to understand that can generate guaranteed rates of return in the 3.6 to 3.8% arena. Again, those aren't solutions. Those are just tools that can be used as a part of a well-balanced portfolio. But please don't forget my favorite. Dividend growers, those companies that are constantly growing their dividend. I think a different generation used to call them blue chip stock, great companies of America. Some of those things are proverbially discounted today. They belong in portfolios.
All right. That's Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG.com. We're not done yet. First, a look at traffic with Mary Vandeveld. 720 WGN, Your Money Matters. We've been chatting with Craig Bolanos. Some of the good news, some of the not so good news in terms of jobless claims going up a little bit, but maybe that's what the economy needs and the soft landing, a lot of things. What about buying the dip? I know that that's a phrase that a lot of people use and it means different things to different people. Obviously, we've seen somewhat of a recovery the past couple weeks, but what are your overall thoughts when someone says, oh man, stocks went down, I'm going to time out this bottom and I'm going to buy the dip?
Well, the first thing is, don't try to time out the bottom. I think what people should be doing is taking a realistic look at three keys, because the all clear signal has not yet been waved yet, John. I mean, every time I come on your show, I got a high batting average here. It's always on an update for whatever reason. But here's the thing. Number one, we have to see a belief that inflation has peaked. Now, I know when we get the July data in the month of August, odds are, as you said just 9 minutes ago on radio, we're probably going to finally get that validation. But up until we get that print, people got to be careful. Number two on my list, it's all about China. I don't live there. I don't work there. But the reality is, when China is practicing zero COVID, that impacts the entirety of our supply chain. So we need to get China fully reopened. And admittedly, it's better than it was 3.5 weeks ago.
Right.
But we're not there yet. And number three, that we talk about the wealth management group, after inflation, after China, is getting to a, I call it a stalemate in Ukraine. I didn't say an armistice.
Right.
But we need to get to a stalemate so that the investors in the market believe that it doesn't grow and get any worse. And we've made some progress on the first two, but we haven't yet on the three. So I don't want people to just go and buy the dip. I want people to be measured and intentional and average in slowly into the parts that are on sale, as you indicate.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's like you have your plan and adjustments need to be made, but you kind of stick with a plan. And I think that people that say this, that try and time things out, like, yeah, of course, if you could time out the bottoms and time out the tops, you'd all be rich, and it would be that easy. But that's not the way this goes. And I imagine, Craig, with your customers that you work with your clients, or yourself, and what you see from other people that have that consistent investment when they're able to, and that includes when it's going down, that includes when it's going up, they're intentional about it. Those are the people that win in the long run.
Well, they absolutely are. You know, there used to be an investor who said, the only way to guarantee that you can participate in the meaningful, permanent advance of stocks is to sit through every day of the temporary decline, because the market will always recover to a point higher than that through which it fell. That's the words of someone by the name of Nick Murray. And I think they resonate with people, because all we have to do is look at history. And if history is the only guide we have, that can be our guiding light. But I think for those who seek professional advice, they should expect that a good investment advisor is going to help somebody lean into equities, and there's a time to lean away. But notice I said lean or tilt. It's never an all-in or an all-out decision, because permanent impairment to capital happens when people throw the baby out with the bathwater and start giving up on equity prices and start thinking this time it's different. Because remember, Warren Buffett says the four most dangerous words in investing are somehow thinking this time it's different.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes there's a sense, especially when you see a rally for a little while, and again, this could be a bull within a bear, we don't know, we'll have to wait and see, but there's this like fear of missing out that people get. It's like a weakness that we have, and I think that we experience it in everyday life, but also a lot of people experience it in investing. And if you follow that instinct, that can get you in trouble.
Yeah, FOMO is a very real thing, not just in investing, but in life in general. I mean, who doesn't have the fear of missing out? But, you know, what I want people to recognize is when it comes to their 401k, when it comes to saving for their kids' college, you know, right now, have equity prices dropped to a point that arguably parts of this market is on sale? Sure it is. But I think buying with conviction that we're likely through the worst of it means we got to make progress on those three items we just talked about: proof and validation that inflation has peaked and is coming down, validation that China is reopening for business and no longer practicing zero COVID, and at least seeing if we can get to a stalemate in Ukraine, taking a larger escalation off the table. In the interim, people should just use this as an opportunity to buy great companies of America or participate in dirt cheap, low cost ETFs that own exactly that, because I think buying things that pay a dividend are going to give you an income stream while you wait for brighter days ahead. And for those who have not raised any capital or cash on the sideline, just remember, it's never too late, because you need to have some safe money so that you can endure just in case this is a head fake and things are about to get worse.
Well said. All right, Craig Bolanos, a great conversation today. I really appreciate it. Take care, okay?
John, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. My best.
And we'll talk soon, and hope for another green day when we do. You can go to Wealth Management Group is, of course, the name of the great company. Invest with WMG.com. Craig knows what he's talking about.